Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
What an absolute honor to be here. Seriously, I got emotional at the first song, seeing Jamie up here ripping it up. And just the presence of God and just all the history, the memories of the tiniest days, the little microscopic seed of this church and what God has done over the decades. It's very moving. We named our church the Rock of Roseville, obviously in connection to you guys. Of all the churches we went to, candidly, you guys were the healthiest, and that affected us. We'd come, in ministry, you go wherever God leads, and again, we're not here just to go to healthy places. We go to unhealthy places and do the best we can to help them. But in coming here, there was something different, and even though we were very young men, God allowed a friendship to form that now, you know, we have travailed through lots of seasons. Watching Pastor George and Suzanne go through the last season of physical challenges and watching their courage, I can get emotional about this in a heartbeat, but watching their courage, their response to difficulties has been very inspirational. He is one of my heroes, I would say that, even though I know he's a human being. I watched him during the most difficult seasons a person goes through. And he was always overcoming, positive, believing, trusting God, not based on feelings, but based upon maturity and conviction and relationship. And so anyway, I love you, George, very much. You are my dear friend. And Suzanne, thank you again for being such a great example as a dad and mom in this house, but even within your beautiful family, who I love as well a lot. My beautiful wife, Susie, is here. She is amazing. 48 years married. She was 11 years old when we got married. It was awkward, but people adjusted to it because... But it is just a joy to travel with her. I retired, stepped down from pastoring when I was about 70, 5 years ago, and now we own a hip-hop studio, and we are doing that, and that's really awesome to be able to finally get into my passion, being able to teach people how to hip-hop, whatever that is. I have no idea what it is, but I'm sure it sounds very intriguing. So, all right, I'm going to fly here, guys. We got a bunch of things to do. I am filled with passion and conviction about what God wants to do today. So, Father, I ask your anointing on this time, God. I love these folks, Lord. This is family. It's an extended family, Lord. Many of these folks, we will spend eternity together, Lord. We're in a little glimpse of our temporary life on earth. This is the shortest season of our everlasting life on this planet, Lord, but it's the beginning. It's the dress rehearsal. What happens here sets the stage forever. The stewardships here are the handoff. The first baton of stewardships we'll have forever. And so we thank you, Lord, for this season of growing in faith, developing character and conviction in our hearts by the power of your Spirit, and I honor you with that today in Jesus' name. I just felt like reading a verse that's not on the screen, but Romans 5 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wow. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did, through him, through whom we have access by faith, every gift God has for you is by faith. Everything God has for you is by faith. He wants you to develop supernatural muscles because you are a supernatural being. That is the conviction that God has for each of us. Into the grace for which we stand, grace, unmerited favor, something God did that we can receive. It's a gift. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Then it continues. And not only that, you know, don't call yet. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, this is the main event I was talking about. How many of you, be honest, you glory when you go through a great trial? Oh, my gosh. Awesome. You call your friends. Oh, my gosh. Remember this trial right now? It's amazing. I hope it never ends. So apparently there is an advanced stage of glorying in tribulations that none of us can go, that's nothing. No, that's something. because trials, tribulation was a stick. A tribulum was something they would beat the wheat and the chaff to separate them. So it's an aggressive instrument that separates what's eternal from what's not, spirit from flesh. But all we also glory in tribulations. How do you get, what do you get from that? Through tribulations, they produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. If you are lacking hope right now, it's because you lack character. I love you. Give me a hug. Come on. You need more character. Well, how do I get that, Francis? You get that by tribulations and persevering through them. Don't ask God to stop the tribulations in your life, because God knows what's best for you. He's never asked your opinion. He never says, what do you think, Francis? Now, hope does not disappoint. That hope that by trusting God in the middle of character being formed, in the middle of perseverance, in the middle of tribulations, that hope will not be disappointed, God promises us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I could pray again, but I'm not. Because that's a great verse right there. All right, I'm going to show you pictures of my family. I'm believing. Let's see. Oh, they are there. I am so sorry. I was looking at the back screen, guys. I'm sorry. If I could see the back screen, that would help an older man across the street. All right. So that is my family, my beautiful wife, and there's a few dogs in there too. I'm not mentioning any family members, but that's my two beautiful daughters, Deborah and Havila, Daniel and Ben, their husbands, 7 grandkids, 6 grandsons, 1 granddaughter. They are magnificent. These are the grandchildren there who I love dearly. They're 11 to 17, and we have been blessed by them over the years. Amazing to see what God has done. But the reality is everybody's in play. Everyone's in play. And that's really my message today. That with what's happening on the planet, you've got to recognize that there's red dots on your chest, on your family, and that needs to produce a desperation in your heart that God would move and protect us. I got saved on Mother's Day. It was my mother's prayers. I was, at that point, I was studying for a doctorate in stupidity, and so I was close to having a doctorate in that, hitchhiking across Northern California. In Mother's Day, May 1972, got radically converted, delivered from demons, Jesus movement, I'm believing for that again. But prayers have power, prayers have authority. And so I'm going to go back one there, and I'll go back two. All right, we're going to catch up. I'm going to get this before it's done. All right, so on the, that is it. Okay, so you may have noticed the mediums of the age are changing. Mediums are neutral. I remember when we went from stone tablets to Sanskrit. It was very hard. I remember just struggling with that. But I did it, and it was important. And so the mediums of the age are neutral. The message is eternal. Everything will be corrupted. Look, obviously, there are people on the internet. You may have heard that they're not doing good things on the internet. And yet there are amazingly good things on the internet. It's a neutral entity, okay? There's nothing about it. Nothing is unclean of itself, per se, in that vein. And so this is, I just looked at the reality and the unreality dimensions in our culture, where people are adopting complete unreality. They're making up something, and they're saying, this is the new reality. I am this, you know, and I believe this, and this is real, and it's all baloney, okay? It's part of the deli section. And so I made a booklet about the contrast between reality and unreality. On every issue you could imagine, all the hard things that you are facing throughout history, they're in there. So that's an example of something that you can get a hold of in the lobby. Additionally, I have books out there that you can see and get a hold of those. But there's a couple of courses. I just finished a supernatural life course, which I'm very excited about. We're supernatural beings learning to hear and obey God, both for as many as are led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God. These are those who are walking in that sonship, that daughtership. That's who we are. But also, the primary life message, because candidly, my brain was not terribly stable. My wife could vouch for that if I want to talk to her after the service. So I don't have clear thinking easily. I was probably ADHD growing up, didn't get tested, but I'm sure that was the case. I was suicidal for 6 months before I met the Lord and relationship that went bad. So I've really, and when I came to the Lord, I was really up or really down, whatever that might be. And I really had to modify the highs and not believe the lows and learn how to process my brain. So that enabled me to develop a course called The Secret to Loving Your Life, which actually begins. And for me, the question would be, and I'm going to get this. I'm going to nail this thing. What would be sadder than not loving the script God wrote for you? I mean, perfect God loves you with an everlasting love. Out of all possible options, he writes your script, temperament, personality, background, history, every difficulty meant to work for your good. It's to make you the person like no one else, a one-of-a-kind person, and then you hate the script he wrote. You whine, you complain, you don't get it. And I understand that. That was a very personal thing for me. And so I had to deal with how do I learn to process life in a way that accesses faith with the promises of God. Sometimes I thought, is the abundant life overstated? You know, Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content in all and every situation. What's that secret, Paul? Is there a secret that I don't know about? Why? And I had realized it was a training of my soul and my understanding. And so that starts. This course is free. And we'll give you your money back if you don't like it. It's a week from tomorrow, free. You got to sign up. There's sheets out there. Put your email down. I'll send you information about it. There are books that go with it that you can get in the lobby. We have a few copies with that. But I just want you to get it. Before I leave the planet, I want you to love the life God's given you. It's a very simple question I would ask you. Do you love your life because of your circumstances or your perspective? I'd ask 1,000 people in our church. As I'd greet people, I'd say, tell me, how are you doing? Oh, man, I am doing so good. Really? How? Tell me. Is it because of your circumstances or your perspective? This happened recently, and so circumstances. Well, I guess so. So basically, that's crack Christianity is what we're talking about. You're just kind of a junkie for your circumstances. I'm just saying. That's how I talk to my soul. I don't know how you talk to your soul. I don't pamper my soul. David said, I quieted my soul as a weaned child. Shh, shh, shh. Quiet? I trained my soul. And so I was addicted to circumstances. And I wanted to get a I knew enough. I knew better. So that course is available. I appeal to you. If you don't love the life God's given you, not based on circumstances, but you have a clear perspective, understanding it, and we'll cover it from soup to nuts, I would encourage you to take the course. That would be great, and that is available in the lobby. You've got to sign up for it, though. Otherwise, I'll never know. I've got a word of knowledge on your email, and I could not do that. All right. The world is changing. You may have noticed this. So fast, anything seems possible. Is that not true? Even probable. Now, again, there's a perfect example. How are we looking at that? Meaning, are we looking at that? And at times I feel like I'm a flagman in the road saying, guys, are you aware how crazy is getting? I mean, crazy jumped the fence. It's in a whole new pasture. Stupid is taking on whole new dimensions of idiocy. So that's one possibility. Or I can look at what's going on and I alert my soul to the miracles that are ahead. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against him. Revivals always happen at low tide. It's always counterintuitive. Okay, trust me. You know, when 500,000 young people were naked taking drugs in 1969, parents were going, yeah, we're about to see a move, man. This is awesome. No, they were freaking out. My mother, when she last saw me, she did not see me for 9 months before I got saved. I was suicidal, getting in a hippie van, come across the country, 1971. Not promising, but her prayers got me. And it makes me emotional to say it because it also says, I know my prayers have power. I love when Pastor Suzanne was up here praying. I love when Jamie was up here and leading almost authoritative prayer worship. Yeah. Come on, we have authority in God. I'm not nervous about what's happening because we're getting closer. You know, a tsunami is coming. The tide's going out. That means there's a mighty wave coming. And yet it takes faith to believe that. Again, I've been waiting for it 50 years. I've been writing about revival. A revival was so amazing. We were literally saying, how long will it take so-and-so to receive the Lord? Someone shows up, and in one of the houses, an atheist shows up. It took 18 minutes before he was praying to receive the Lord. That was like the indoor record. Low-hanging fruit. And you thought it would happen forever. You thought, man, this is amazing. We baptized 15 people in pickups every Sunday in the middle of nowhere, a town of 200 people, every week for months and months and months. Coming back. It's coming back, I believe, with all my heart. Additionally, discerning the moment. You got to discern what's going on. You got to understand where we're living. Are we living fully conscious and prepared for the unexpected? Again, granted, I can guarantee you all hell is breaking loose. But I will guarantee you all heaven is coming over the hill. What are you looking at? What am I training my soul to look at? You know, I got convictions about the election, but there's nowhere in the Bible says election solves the riddle. I'm into the eternal incumbent. I'm into the guy who is not capable of being thrown out of office. That is the person that I am living for every day. I have convictions, but I'm not putting my emotions on them compared to my conviction about who Jesus Christ is. So are you living fully conscious and prepared for the miraculous? Again, my wife surfs the net more than I do, and she encourages me not to. I'm not mature enough to do that. So I don't. I don't go on because, honey, you'd freak out. It's just too much on there. You know, you'd be concerned about so-and-so, what they're, you know, I can't. I don't need to. But she gives me reports. She's like a spy that goes in the land. And she says there are incredibly good things happening in various places, even in America. There's movement. Come on. And I can know about what's not happening, and I can marinate on that and get discouraged, or I can just focus on what's God doing. Where is God working, functioning, that I can embrace that? So I want to live fully conscious of that. Now, I recognize, this is a Caleb spot I did a while back, of how nations were conquered. Have you ever wondered what it takes for a nation to be conquered? What took out the Roman and Grecian empires? The same thing that upends individuals. Exact same thing. Moral and social decay, internal divisions, economic decline, and being invaded by enemies. They were porous to deception and ripe to be conquered unless we as individuals have a solid moral core, a conviction to resist the enemy of our soul, a longing to be one with our Creator and do His will. We will gradually open the borders of our heart and mind to evil entities intent on killing us. It's happened throughout history. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The man that God appeared to twice, the man called the wisest man on earth, and at somewhere at the end of his life, he was worshiping demons, was his wives turned his heart, he was worshiping Chemosh and Molech. I mean, guys, honestly, for about a year or two, a few years ago, if I had seen Solomon, they'd have to pull me off him. I was ticked off with Solomon because it affected my life. You know, if the smartest guy who ever lived, you know, went through a moron stage at the end, that troubles me. Not overstating it, and the meds are helping. Okay, so not exempt from the consequences of bad decisions, silly thinking, and naive decision making. There is no other safe foundation other than relationship with Jesus Christ, the God who came to earth to rescue us. So the good news is the future of heaven and earth is certain. Don't worry about it. Bet on that. God wins, devil loses, mankind's divided. Boom, drop the mic, boom, shakalaka. But the Bible is the eternal, the battle rather is the eternal supernatural realm is more real than the temporary trials of earth. You know, those people who are not thinking that there is a supernatural struggle going on, I am I have sentries in my heart in different areas because I recognize the vulnerability that I have. How long would it take me to blow up my life? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? I mean, we're talking stupid can come on you like a flood, man, and drown you in a few seconds. And the Bible does say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against the rulers and the authorities of this earth, but it's against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of that, put on the full armor of God. Worship is not just singing little songs. Worship is learning to come into the presence of God with singing, receiving then the anointing, the power of God, the grace of God. So I worship him by myself or with others. I want to be able to sing praises to God, to thank him. And also I want to wash my mind with the water of the word. I have hearing aids, which are an actual blessing, because I can be walking through Costco and I've got the word of God. I'm going, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Therefore, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. So the point is, I'm washing my mind with the water of the word. Be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. All of the battles on earth can't compare to the battle going on in the heavenlies for our souls. I think I'm saying this because you have to understand, you say, well, I'm not that spiritual. Change. God's not going to go, you're not that spiritual. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be that spiritual. No. You're a spirit being, having an eternal, temporary, natural experience. Eternity is in your heart, and you're going to be a spirit being forever. You have to develop spiritual muscles. No one can do it for you. You can't come in here and get a message a week and lives on the fumes of that message. You've got to develop your relationship with God. And candidly, that's what revival is. When we got saved, there was a whole bunch of people who were in pursuit of God, because he had changed our lives. I wasn't trying to follow another human being. I wanted to follow Jesus. So, we're in a spiritual battle for our inheritance. Now, this is going to get, I believe, rich for you. The giants that we need to conquer are the spiritual, mental, emotional strongholds in each of our lives. So the Israelites, we know about this story. They were slaves in Israel. Then they wound up crossing the Red Sea, which is like baptism. We come out of the world through baptism, and then they wound up going on a journey into their promised land. Now, the irony of it was, it's only an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. They turned it into a 40-year marathon. The giants that you have to face in your life are not going to be in your wilderness. There's no giants in the wilderness. You got to even get to the promised land to face the real battle. You've got to be a spiritual being to face the battle. Otherwise, you're just, you're lint. You're taking up space. You're not living as God intended. And I am challenging you. I love you. I got 45 more minutes on this earth. That's overstated. But if the day in the Lord's 1,000 years, it's not that overstated. So we got a few more precious moments on this earth. I may never come again. I may never say this to you again. I'm telling you how I live, because I want to stay fully conscious. And my consciousness enables my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, and anyone I affect is affected by how fully conscious I am and how passionate I am about the things of God. I've seen too much. And this is part of the blessing and somewhat, not the curse, but when you've seen a move of God, you're addicted. I don't want anything else but to see God move. Everything else is pre-something. So, for each of us, in the past few years, we've seen moral leaders among senior leaders in four spiritual realms. You may not be aware of it. I'll just tell you, senior-most leaders who were pastors, worship leaders, word, and prayer. I'm not going to mention their names. I'm just saying I knew two of them well, and I was aware of the other two well. And they were all my heroes. And they all had a moral failure of some kind at some point that came to light that tarnished their future. And it bothered me. It still bothers me. I forgive them. That's not the point. People will forgive me. I could be stupid and they'll forgive me. Some things I want to shore up. And that troubled me. When I traveled 18 years as an evangelist prior to pastoring for 21 years, I initially pastored 4.5 years, 18 years evangelist, 21 years pastoring, now retired. But when I traveled, you know, I saw some things that troubled me. I wrote a book called Church Wounds. I had some that I brought with me into the Christianity, but some I saw, you know, I remember being in green rooms of massive churches, and I'm thinking when I got out there, I'm going to say you guys need to go look for another church. I could cry right now because, you know, there was something disingenuous. There's something not real back there. I couldn't say that. Of course, I'm a one and done, but man, it bothered me. So when I began to pastor, it produced a conviction in me. So we have all been slaves to sin before we received Jesus. Now when we become followers of Jesus, we're rescued out of bondage as long as you want to be. He'll never force you. You know, a dog can return to its vomit, a pig to lying in the mud, anytime you want to. Mud's available. We have all been slaves to sin before we received Jesus. And yet now God's called us to conquer our promised land. What's conquering your promised land? Your flesh. It's the giants in the promised land. What are those? We're going to discuss those. What are those giants? Our challenge is we all make friends of enemies. Well, I've always been kind of an angry person. I've been a worrier, you know. I really battle with fear all the time. We begin to assume, well, my family, it's kind of a generational thing. My dad was, my mom, I tried. And all of a sudden, we make a friend of it. That's not your friend. Get off me. That's from the pit of hell. That's bondage in my life. And you make room, you know, make no provision for the flesh. If you want ants, leave some food out. You're going to get ants. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Starve your flesh. Feed your spirit. That's the battle. Now, enemies, what are my enemies? Well, enemies like fear and lust and anger and pride and anxiety and depression, you know, they are evil companions. So the names of the seven tribes, for example, and these are the tribes, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Addisites, Backbites, all these tribes have a meaning to their name. So you have, for example, the Hittites. It means confusion, fear, self-pity, and discouragement. So every time, and this is the problem, they were to go in their land and take out all those enemies. They would not intermarry with them, not join with them. They were not their friends. But if you want to, you can, you know, you can, in the morning, you could have coffee with fear and have, you know, lunch with anxiety and a candlelight dinner for discouragement. I mean, it's your call. It's your life. You can bring these things with you. Or you can fight like heaven and say, God, give me the grace to be overcomer. That's why the Bible says 7 times in the book of Revelation, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. Well, if you're not trying to over, if you're not fighting to overcome something, you haven't even joined the battle yet. Because the reality is to him who overcomes, to her who overcomes, is the main event that all of us need to fix. I'm not going to go through these at great length. I'm just going to mention Girgashites, old sinful nature, Amorites, condemnation. These are all demonic enemies. Canaanites, failure. Perizzites, pride, anger, lack of discipline. Sexual temptation, Hivites, and impurity, addictions. So these are all real things. The Bible thus says, though, when the Lord God brings you into the land you are going to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. These 7 nations are greater and more numerous than you. You have no power over sin in your own strength. Satan's smarter than you are at any given day. Our only shot is to depend on God. I have no capacity to fight a supernatural battle without the power of God in my life. So, when the Lord your God continues, when the Lord your God, I went too far, thank you so much. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them, every vestige of them. You know, I'm just saying, I was an unfaithful man in the world. I was a heinous man in the world. I was worthy of death. I'm just talking about me, just between me. I did very bad things. Aborted my first two children. And it makes me sad, but I'm forgiven. So when I came to the Lord, the song I sang to Susie, got married 49 years ago this November, was, Susie, I won't fail you. I won't fail you. Have no fear. So I was trying to speak into my future. I've been a failure. I've been a jerk. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I've never flirted with a woman, never touched anyone inappropriately, never done anything. And that's a deep conviction. And I'm not boasting. I'm just saying, guys, I made vows to be faithful to this woman. And again, I understand in this room there's all kinds of things that have happened, and God can forgive you and heal you and set you free. I'm talking to the people who, by the grace of God, at this point have been spared that, which you certainly wouldn't want to wish on them. That you would believe for that kind of a life. And I say that only because, you know, again, some of my heroes, I thought that's how they were living. And it bothered me when I heard they weren't. And it should bother us. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away to worship other gods. So, how should we view evil? If you want to remove evil in your life, don't imagine you're barbecuing a puppy. Okay, how many of you, be honest, how many of you have recently barbecued a puppy? You bought a puppy, and you said, honey, let's eat the puppy tonight. There's no affection toward barbecuing a puppy. You've got to view, ultimately, your enemy as a chicken. We got a chicken that we are going to barbecue tonight. I want you to be honest again. How many of you have recently eaten chicken? Come on, I know this is unbelievable that you guys would allow that in this church. Anyway, none of us feel bad about eating chicken. And if you're a vegan, again, you know, maybe you can't hear the cries of lettuce when you're chewing. But I do. I hear those cries. I hear them. Okay. So the point is, you cannot have this inordinate affection toward sin and want to kill it. You got to know, this is killing me. This is meant to kill me. This is an assassin. That's why, candidly, the Secret to Loving Your Life course is I'm training assassins.
Amen.
I'm training you to discern who your enemy is, and you're going to take them out. Yeah. You're going to take them out. Because he's not your friend.
Nope.
I don't care how he schmoozes you. He's your enemy, and he will kill you dead. All right, I'm going to keep moving. So, don't imagine, what chicken do you need to barbecue? Think of what chicken you need to barbecue? None of these on the list are puppies, okay? And I would say, I want you to think of it, because right now, it may not be a runaway stagecoach in one of these areas. It may not be spiraling out of control, but do you know where the soft underbelly of your life is? And candidly, that's why the Bible says, yet we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's God's promise to us. So this is Turn Yourself In Sunday. It's exciting. Turn Yourself In Sunday. Because there's only two options in life. The first option is you turn yourself in. Second option is you get caught. That's the reality. You know, I'm working with people right now who are friends, some young, some old, who got caught. And now they've turned themselves in because they're caught. If you ever see someone who has great acts of contrition after they've been busted, well, that's okay. Better to be conscious before. So when I began to pastor, because I had done enough autopsies on pastors and leaders, I was Uncle Francis, who was brought in as an evangelist when a leader fell to face the parents and grandparents and children and grandchildren, and then have to deal with the carnage of it. And so I decided, when the pastor, man, I've got to be honest about my issues. I'm not a perfect guy. I finally said at a certain point, I have been healed, I am being healed, I will be healed. I'm still a man in process. So I began to communicate in a very transparent way. And for our leaders, we would have small groups. We raised about 450 leaders in groups of 12 over 20 years that we would meet with for a number of months. And I would just ask one question in those groups that I would answer first. And the question was, if there was one area in your life where the enemy could pick you off, what would that be? There's no point in dealing with the lesser. Where is the biggest dot on your chest? Where could the enemy? Let's talk about that. And I want you to deal with that. If you're going to try and lead here, we don't want to do an autopsy on you and find out later on what happened. And by the grace of God, I say this by the grace, in 20 years, we're not aware of any leader that fell who came into a responsibility. They had issues, and we worked with them, but no one was taken out because from the very beginning, they knew who we were. I would share my number one issue, again, even before, obviously, they had the internet, there were pornographic things in caves that I would go see. Kidding, okay. It's magazines that were available. And my twin brother found, you know, a magazine in a dumpster as a teenager. There was an attraction. There was an interest. Now, again, I did plenty of drugs, alcohol, etc. But coming to the Lord, there was still an attraction to that dimension. And it concerned me. And so I put sentries on that area of my life of confession, of honesty, of turning myself in with accountability partners of any area. And by the grace of God, in many decades, I've not seen any porn. I have no idea what's happening. I'm sure it's crazier than ever, but it did scare me, and it did provoke me. So that's the first thing I mentioned. Everyone in our church knew the number one issue Francis has to be aware of was porn. Francis never feels powerful sharing that. I never feel like, yeah, porn. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? No, it makes you feel like a slug. None of you would. I've had people, they share fear, worry, whatever it might be, whatever your issue is, you're not thinking, wow. No, you're thinking, this thing has a handle on me, and I'm going to fight this thing. So you don't feel powerful talking about your greatest weakness. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, there's a falls in Yosemite. And I remember years ago, I actually took this picture. Vernal Falls, and at the top of the falls, there is a sign that says this: smooth, slippery rocks, stay back from the water's edge. If you slip and go over the waterfall, you will die. It doesn't say, you know what, you might hurt yourself. You go past this point, you're dead. I remember that's like, wow. How did they know that? People died. And someone got concerned enough to go, put a sign up.
Right.
And after that, they put a fence up because people kept going further and falling and slipping in the water, and then they die. I don't want to be a clone Christian mimicking others. I don't want to be a camouflage Christian, culturally invisible. Either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. When I made vows, you know, my wife made me make a vow to be 100% faithful? That's dominant. I couldn't say, you know, honey, on my birthday. No. 100%. As it should be. Double-mindedness. Unstable. And then there's NPC Christians, non-players. Religion actually drove me to atheism. I'm sorry. Dead religion? By 15, I was out. Nothing here for me. I don't even, even now, I love you. I'm into a relationship. This church is about relationship. I know that. But you got to be about relationship. You can get the warm fuzzies and the kudos of being here. I want us to respond to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to show the video I was going to show. That's all good. But I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this. We are God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. You've not been shortchanged. You've been lavishly overpaid. Your script is as good as any script ever written for any human being. Stay on the operating table. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. Yet your soul is begging you to train it. Your soul is saying, train me. Train my mind, my will, my emotions. Train me to be the man, the woman of God I'm called to be. So, how would the devil pick you off? Which one of these areas? What giant do you need to remove from your life? Could have the prayer team come. Worship leaders come. I'm sorry, your worship team come. We're just going to pray. I don't have to show the video, or I can show it. Would you rather me not show it? No. Okay, we're ready to pray. Let me say this. No one's going to read your lips up here. And I'm not saying these are the people that you need to share. I would say animal, vegetable, mineral. And then you need, if you have an area in your life that you know, either you're porous right now, or you're vulnerable, or maybe the enemy's having his way, or you are very concerned about this area based on the word that's been preached today. You've been awakened to how serious it is. So I want you to come forward and just ask for prayer. I also want you to find someone that you could talk to, a safe person to pray with. Father, I thank you for your presence right now, Lord. I thank you for your grace in this room. I thank you that you've called us to be more than conquerors, to live a victorious life. Caleb and Joshua saw their promised land and were ready to fight. But the majority, 10, saw it and they cowered and they never entered into that land. The Bible says these things are written for our admonition. I can't assume because I go to the Rock of Gainesville, a wonderful church, that somehow I'm part of the 2 when you might be part of the 10. You might be a person that goes through the motions periodically, but you've not dealt with it. And this is not a question. I'm not saying the worst people in the church come forward. To me, as far as I'm concerned, they are the most courageous people. I'd be up here in a minute if I had an issue in my life or any area of concern in a minute. And I share that regularly with my wife. She's not excited to hear my issue, but she's excited that I'm dealing with it. And I've met a lot of wives who wish their husband had dealt with it or spouse had done with it. So Father, would you pray? Would you stand right now? We're going to pray together. And then I want you to come out of your seat. We're going to worship. The worship, we can do some worship here. That's okay. I should have probably invited the worship team, if you want to, or a singular worship leader. We can just have some dimension of worship. And I want you to be ready to come. Honestly, in revival, you know what revival was like? People ran to the front. I remember seeing people diving at the altar. Father God, we see what's happening on the earth, and we can say, oh man, I wish the earth would change. And you're saying, wish you change. Why don't you change to become someone that I'm able to use in this moment? When Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me, it's because he looked. Satan has nothing in me. That's what I want, Lord. I want to follow you so well, Lord. I want light to shine in my darkness. I am susceptible to stupid, but you have rescued me, and I want to stay rescued, stay fully conscious, all the days of my life, Lord. I want you to slip out of your seat right now. If you want to pray with someone, this is a great time. Come forward, respond to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say, I'll do it later. That's the enemy. That's not your friend. That thing that said to you, I'll do it later, that's your enemy. That is the enemy. It's probably the clearest voice of your enemy. Come forward. Even get in line. Let's believe God. Lord, we claim right now, we claim your promises, Lord, of victory, of healing, of deliverance. No addiction, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Lord, we will be victorious in you. We will stand against, we will cast down the fiery darts of the enemy. We will cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We will bring every thought into captivity, God. Lord, I pray that rescuing would take place in this room today. If you've never given your life to Jesus 100%, never made him the Lord of your life, I implore you, come running down here today. The God of the universe loved you enough to die in your place on a cross. He took the punishment that you and I deserve on himself and bled out. And because of that, he's allowing us to have a relationship with him. If you need to surrender your life to Jesus, do it today. Let today be the day where you let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And if you're in your seat, you're still standing there, and you are recognizing areas in your life, all of us have them. I have no doubt that every one of you are pick-offable. Every one of us are pick-offable. So, Lord, we look at these areas, this area in our heart. If you're with a spouse and you want to join hands with them and pray with them, do that. But we look. We let light shine in our darkness. You said, Jesus, that if our eye is single, our whole body will be filled with light, God. We want your light to shine. Darkness has no power when light comes. So let light come in each of our hearts, each of our minds today, by the power of your Spirit, in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.